moves you and forms you and motivates you. Acts 14. Book of Acts 14. Verse 8. The book of Acts. Acts of the Apostles after the Gospel of John. Book, chapter 14, verse 8. Verse 8 to 23. This excites me when I can read some of these stories where miracles happen. This gives me hope, because what you're going through, the sickness or the difficulty the enemy has sent on your life, you can see that there is hope, because the same God that healed this lame man is the God that we worship and serve and glorify in this house. We read in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, verse 8, chapter 14 of Acts. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. Now when the people saw that Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Laodicean language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran among the multitudes, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing this? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that from these things you should turn, from these useless things, to the living God, the one who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without a witness, in that he did good, giving us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these things, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he went with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel in that city, and in Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, they strengthened the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, "We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God." It's necessary through many tribulations we enter the kingdom of God. And so we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. So many problems and situations we come through to the kingdom. You can be seated this morning. What moves you is what forms you. What moves you is what forms you. The people want to give admiration for that provokes something in them. Today, people have admiration for that provokes something in them. If we could be honest, those that like the football have an admiration for a certain player, or for you have, you're a fan of certain team, but that admiration makes you to become a fanatic, and you start loving that shirt, that club. Are you with me? And sometimes you don't even see. It's nothing wrong. The problem is when those things start to influence our life to the point that we start to idolize it and worship that. Paul and Barnabas had come to this city to do their mission, but immediately the people were excited by the miracle. They were attracted to the miracle to the point where they wanted to offer sacrifices. They were lifting up the men, Paul and Barnabas, as gods. To Paul and Barnabas, can you imagine Paul and Barnabas that were trying to bring them to God? And when they saw this, he said, today we're living times that are difficult, where the church is doing the same thing. The Christian church is guiding itself through the same things that we see here. Sadly, Christians are being attracted by men, by the prophets, by the apostles, by the organizations, by the movements that they cause or the events. And we're attracted by the concerts. Here we go. I don't know if you're understanding me, but the problem is that many times we lose the focus and we quit seeing that what moves you is what forms you. What moves you is that what, that's it, what forms you. I have seen many times as a counselor of families that there are marriages that after time, and we've seen it especially in the woman, the character of the woman is formed by the character of the man. Where at certain time, if the husband has a bad character, look at what I'm getting into, huh? If he's real angry, he gets to a certain point where you find out but the wife begins to form herself in that character, and at same certain time the woman starts to answer him in the same way. She starts with the same attitude. I know what the men are thinking. What happens is we're not letting God work on our character. And what we create is a storm, spiritual storm. Somebody's saying I should have stayed home. No, it's good. We have seen this. The character of somebody is formed because there's an influence. And when it's not tolerable, you come to a certain place where you ask for a separation in the situation you're living because something has formed itself in you. And if there's been abuse, the woman says, I'm not going to let it happen anymore. And nobody should be being abusing, because now we're at the time where the women can hit the men. What moves you is what forms you. And what moves you many times is feeling as an influence that over a period of time is going to bring changes in you. That is an influence in you is going to provoke changes in you. I remember my mother had a saying, and don't think she's not here, she's in the back, but she had a phrase that she said, a word, when we were small and we lived in Guatemala in the neighborhood, we went to play. We didn't realize because we were small, but our mother, she knew when your attitudes begin to change, when your language begins to change, even when you take on customs and habits. So my mother, when she saw certain differences in us, certain changes and attitudes in us, she would say this, I'm going to see with who you are gathering, with who you are in friendship, who you are gathering with. I'm going to see who it is. From that moment, it was like she was accusing us. She started to look who was influencing us, who was with us, who was moving us. And she would figure out, but not us, because we were young. But we were being influenced in some way. Many times you don't notice what is changing, influencing you. You see today what's happening in our world. The famous people famous something, we'll see. Those that are influencing our society, our young people, now some adults, ridiculous adults, they are called influencers. The sad thing is those that are influencing our society just don't do dumb things. Burning houses or burning cars. You think a lot of abuses towards authority, things that they can win or let people know who they are. Because if they have more likes, more money they pay them. Many of those influencers are millionaires. And who makes them millionaires? Those who look at their videos. I didn't know that. But somebody, just for saying some nutty phrase, if I would have known this was going to, he was become a millionaire just saying a nutty thing, a stupid thing. So to where have we come? Who are the ones that are influencing our youth? And every day there are more and more. It's sadly influencing our society or our young people. Today, we have many religious people. But the greatest problem I can see is not that there would be a lot of religious people, but many of them don't know what they are religious for. We have many believers, but the problem is not that there are many believers. They don't know in what they have believed. It's sad, and I can prove this to you. Before, in a church, you could choose somebody. I'm the old school, the old kind of evangelicals. You could choose somebody. I'm not going to choose anybody, so don't be scared. I'm a little different than Pastora. Before, you could choose somebody. For example, I could call Sister Graciela, Brother Alex, and that person that you call immediately, describe me your faith, and that person would tell you their faith, even almost to carry you to repentance. But it's sad today that many, they don't even know what the faith is. You know why? Somebody asked me, why, Pastor? Because we live in a time where people are moved by the presence of Jesus. But they, in that presence that goes wherever they go, the problem is they're very few. The ones that want to find that presence personally. They're very few that want that commitment, personal commitment with Him. They are attracted by the movement, by the church, by the organization, by the field. But when you want to go look for it at your home, that's the problem. And that's where the problem is with faith, because the Word of God says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God today, we have much information. We have so much information that sometimes we don't look for the answers in the Word of God. We look in this machine, maybe this computer or social media. But we're living in a time where we need faith. We don't see the miracles because we're so full of information, but not faith. Are very few the ones that want that commitment, but as a pastor, I feel that same responsibility or commitment as at the beginning. I am determined as a pastor to let you be enamored with God, that you would continue to have a relationship with God and placing your eyes in Jesus and not in me, because I will fail you. But I invite you, each one of you, that while we were out, you came to church. You don't come because of me or my family. You come because you have developed a relationship, a personal with your loved one, the Lord Himself, God Himself, and that God will bless you. The one that's going to heal you is God. The one that's going to do the work in your life is God. And I congratulate you. And I was so happy when they gave me the report that most of you were here. Keep on falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with the one who does the works. Because the Spirit of God is provoking in you changes. Look It's incredible how Jesus starts to call people that are busy and working to form a team. And it calls my attention when I read how Jesus prepares that team. People, normal people with problems like yours, you and me. People that had profession. And he starts to build his team. A team of executives, a council of mentors and teachers that maybe didn't know anything of the Word or of God. But they started to have fellowship with the Lord, the teacher, and they were influenced. And things began to change. But when the time that Jesus was crucified, many doubted and went away. And I can say some of them went back to their work or what they did before, their profession, because they felt betrayed. That man that said he had risen hadn't done anything in the cross. But you know that God always has a plan. And it calls my attention that one of the apostles was not only have seen Jesus die, but also seen Jesus rise again. Today, even though Paul is not part of what the 11 disciples saw, but Paul came. I'm barely getting into this message. But next week we have a party. So I'm going to let you rest. So, look what happened. Paul converts and becomes an apostle to the Gentiles. He becomes an apostle to the Gentiles after persecuting the church, after jailing Christians and putting them in prison, because he, at that time, he dedicated himself to persecute the church and Christians, influenced by his knowledge and what the Pharisees said. But when God has a plan, there's not a devil or a demon or a spirit that will be able to oppose it. There's nobody can stop it. What God has said that he has planned. When God has a plan on our life, it doesn't matter what the doctor said or what somebody said at work about you. What is important is the plan that God has marked for our lives. Paul begins to be moved in his purpose. He's being formed in something new, because after that God knocked him down of that horse and that revelation, God knocks him off in his glory from that horse he was riding on into the city. He gives him an assignment. And Paul goes through a process, and part of that process was going to bring controversy. Everything that you do is going to bring controversy at your work or in life or in the church, in the ministry. What you have been called to do is going to bring controversy. When we started the church, we brought on controversy. But some people wanted it to end in a year. Supposedly, they were also part of the kingdom. All of a sudden, people prophesied that our marriage was going to be broken 2 years or in 3 years. Because when you start to bless and do things for God, you cause controversy. They want it. But for His glory, we just celebrated 25 years together. So they're going to keep waiting that the church would finish, but we're going to open another one in the mountains of Nayarit. The devil is going to have to keep on waiting, because what called you to do is greater than what they plan for you. That's why David says, in the presence of my enemies, you prepare a table for me. When you start to move and changes begin to produce in you, you're getting into an environment of miracles. It's an atmosphere that's different, because what's influencing you has the power to lift dead people. What's influencing you has the power to lift up the lame, those that cannot walk and paralyzed, because what's influencing you has the power to change lives. What's influencing you has the power to make the difference. Paul finds himself in the middle of the multitude, and there's a man there that is impotent, that could not walk even from his birth. He was incapacitated, could not walk. Paul never came and placed hands on him to pray. There are people that are waiting for the prophet to do something. No, you just look for the presence of God and see what the presence of God can do. I told you last few weeks ago, in the middle of the worship, a miracle is going to happen. In the middle of the praise, something's going to happen. In your seat, the miracle is going to happen, because everything has to do with the presence of God. What calls my attention is that Paul begins to preach where he's come to that city, the gospel. And what happens? He had been influenced by the Holy Spirit, and what he had was the presence of God. So notes, number one, he was preaching the perfect gospel. The perfect gospel. If you start to read from verse 1, they were coming from other cities and they were preaching the gospel. They were not moving multitudes. They were just preaching the perfect gospel. You have to understand that kingdom, it's not about you and me. The kingdom is about Christ, about the Father. The problem is we want to steal the glory from Him. Today, we have more religious people than believers. Why? Because we have become to seek more information in every kind of media instead of going to the scriptures and to the presence of God. And we forget that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And sadly, all the information we take, it just provokes controversy. But can you imagine if we were into the Word instead of just an information. Here, well, what I'm about to tell you, that's why there are people have not come back to their house. They haven't come back to the church because their faith doesn't measure to go to church. There are people that still don't congregate because their faith does not help them to go to church. They have so much information that information has confused them, but their faith is not enough to bring them to the church. Maybe their faith will help them to get to heaven. It's sad because they have faith to go to Walmart. It's sad they have faith to go to the market or the grocery store, faith to go anywhere, even on vacation. I know I'm getting into something here. They have faith to go anywhere, but their faith doesn't measure in them to start congregating again. It tells me they're more full of information than the Word of God. The gospel that you and I have is a perfect gospel. The problem is that we don't move in that gospel, and that's why when the problem comes, when we're in a difficult situation, the Word doesn't become our motivator. When you're in situations that are difficult, that Word should inspire you. When the enemy lifts himself up against you, that Word that you heard, that Word that you believe, should become a motivator. When the enemy has said he's going to do something, he's going to raise up against you, there are people that just start crying. But when you know the Word, what happens? If the doctor said something, I'm going to give just an example. You have cancer. It's an example. There's a word that starts up in you, so I don't accept what the doctor is saying. I believe the Word of God. But if God's going to carry us, that's just going to be the excuse that God's going to use. Like we said, Brother Tony. Tony finished his mission. He finished his purpose, his assignment. The cancer didn't kill him. That was just the excuse that God used. COVID didn't kill him, with or without the vaccine. But I know that he finished his purpose. I know he completed his mission. You and I are still completing ours. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. If we're not hearing this gospel, it doesn't matter that I know the Word, even by heart, if that Word is not bringing changes. What I've been told, Carlos, in the last days we need to bring order in the house. I said, all those that are not married, I'm going to have to marry them, because there is where the blessing starts. Somebody have already made an assignment with me, have made a date with me. Because you're holding the blessing for your house, for this house. I'm going to be honest with you. You're holding back something, and God wants to bring order in your life. But overall, He wants to bring blessing in your life. And the Lord is telling me it's time. I want to announce that for February, I'm going to have a wedding of many couples, so don't worry. We're going to put the birria here. We're going to, all you're going to have to say is yes, I'm going to do it. A whole bunch of weddings. If I could be honest with you, I put the example already, or gave you the example when I went to Mexico. I was your example. So if you give me permission, I'll tell you. When you're going to put things in order, you're going to cause controversy. Even to put our lives in order, we're going to cause controversy. Look, who's going to criticize you? Worry that the one in heaven finds you in order when he comes. Something, my pastor, I'm finishing. This is number two. The lame man from Tarsus. This is Paul, like historians believe. Historians believe after Paul was knocked off of that horse in Tarsus. That COVID, we have it in our mouth all the time, huh? I said, I was going to talk about the COVID that hit Paul. Let me preach, though. The impact of the glory of the presence of God knocked off of that horse. And you can imagine. And he's in a place recuperating. But many believe Paul never recuperated completely. And because they spoke to him being the lame man of Tarsus, because some describe it that he had to walk kind of funny, and he walked in a certain way because of the impact. Can you imagine the glory of God coming on you? And they believe he couldn't see very well, that his eyesight was damaged. Now, here in the scripture, we're finding something different. If Paul was that lame man of Tarsus, here's a lame man healing another lame. A lame man healing another lame. Many times we want to have a perfect life. And sometimes we would like to show a perfect life, but God knows we're imperfect and we have errors. But to God, he has pleased to look upon us. And that's why he has been pleased in his grace, his mercy, to reach us. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to have the heart in the right place so that God might do what he wants to do through you and complete his purpose in you. People today, I ask them, are you going to get baptized? I'm not prepared. How many times I've heard that same phrase from somebody? You're not prepared. You're never going to be prepared. It's a step of faith. But since you don't know what faith is, you stay in the doubt. It's a step of faith. It means you're going to have to make the decision. give a step forward, knowing that you're going to be okay as you obey God. That's faith. Knowing that I'm walking and everything is going to be okay. Knowing that nothing is going to happen. You're walking in Him. That's faith. Giving a step of faith, of obedience, step of obedience. I don't know, but how many of you that have distributed material and said, I don't do anything in the church, but now going out and doing evangelism, you have found out it's so easy. And so you cannot be discouraged. You say, maybe not a lot of people come here, but I want to tell you something. Because the Spirit was putting this in my heart. You and I are sowing seed. Maybe we'll never see, but you left that seed placed. And someday when they see the movie or they read the material, something is going to happen, because for that we have prayed. The same Bible says, Paul sowed, Apollos watered, but the growth God gave it. So you might find somebody in 5 years, just in a year, and he becomes your friend, and he says, I'm a Christian. You start talking to him. He says, somebody left on the door of my house a material of a church called ADS. So what's more important is the kingdom. We always worry about numbers. Don't worry about the kingdom getting big. You just are part of the growth of what God is doing. You just keep on doing what you're doing. You know, it was easy. So encourage the rest that have not done anything. That's what the enemy wants you to think. If you're still here, the COVID didn't take you, God still has purpose in you. The third point is this, and with this I finish. Get up from your being normal. Your normality, that thing that you think is normal for you, get up from that. My responsibility as a pastor is to be able to see you in heaven. And for some marriages that haven't been married because God wants to bring order to your life, sometimes we quit forcing ourselves. In the situation we're living, it becomes a normality. And God is saying this morning, God called me to tell you, get up from your being normal. Wake up from your normal. Paul in his condition, like the lame man of Tarsus, was moving in the will of God. And many times our normality is the condition that we are thinking we need to be in, or in that condition we're going to die. But this man was lame from his birth, verse 8. This was what was normal for him. All his life, he had been that way. Many of us come from homes that were destroyed, dysfunctional. I'm part of that. Many of us come from homes where maybe we were abandoned by the dad or taken to the wrong place by mom. And many times we come and we're in the church and we think that's our normality. We think that's the place that we need to repeat what happened with our children, or the cycle in our normality many times doesn't let us advance because we begin to close to that. We could begin to hug that normality, that normal. But listen very well to what I'm going to say. We thought that we can never change from that character. We thought that all life we're going to live in this way. We're never going to have success in life because we come from a village or a ranch. We're never going to be able to have a house or a business because we don't have education. And we hug that normality. But what, since we don't read the word, we conform ourselves to that situation. Well, if God wants me to be like this, that's the way I'm going to be. That's the way I'm going to die. No. If you give me permission, knock that thing down from you. God doesn't want you to live in that condition. Romans 12 says, Romans 12, verse 1, it says, let's leave off that mentality, that thought, because now in Christ we are new creatures. In Christ we are new creatures. So leave that off, that you can't change. You get into the presence of God and see what's going to happen. You get into the presence of God and see what happens. The problem is, many times we only want to change to half point. We want to make the adjustments. And what do we leave to God? If that is His work, your work is just to seek Him, and God will do His side. Here we have a woman, a wife, asking the men to change, but she doesn't change. Or vice versa. We have the toxic women hitting the man, abusing him. We think we're never going to be able to change, and we're always going to live in that situation and that difficulty, that bitterness, that hurting of our heart. But if we only knew that word that Paul was preaching, that we're announcing to you today, that faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Faith comes from listening to God's Word. And Paul says, get up. Get up from your normality. Get on your feet from that condition. If Paul was a Mexican, he would say, tumbate ese rollo. Knock that thing down. But people get accustomed. It's not that God doesn't want you to prosper or that you have success, but for those of us that have been able to reach some kind of success, I come from a home that's broken and a marriage that was destroyed. But my mother has given me permission to talk about this. I come from this kind of home, from poverty, to come to a place where we jump over times of food because there was none, from coming from a little village or a little ranch. But now you know my glory, but you don't know my story. You have not seen. Might see me driving a Mercedes, but we didn't even have for shoes. But you know what? We have believed His word. that you're not always going to be in the condition that you're in. When you believe in God, you are a new creature. And I don't do that to lift myself up, but to understand that the same God that you're serving, that you're worshiping, can bring you out of that condition, of that mentality, of that normality. You need to fill yourself with faith. My brothers and I, not all the time we're in the gospel. Listen to me. We were not always in the gospel. My brother Edwin had to run to Tijuana because they were about to kill him. He had to go over there and restore his life in a center, because when God has a purpose in your life, it doesn't matter where you go or what you do. When God has a purpose in your life, he's going to do it in his way. And it doesn't matter who you are. If God puts his eyes on you, you're the one that God wants. But why didn't you put your eyes on somebody else to pastor? But sometimes what you're doing, you don't feel yourself as worthy of what God's called you to do. I'm not worthy of this. I'm not worthy of that you bless me in the way you're blessing me. But Lord, why didn't you choose somebody else? I see so many people that have charisma and that have the words. Maybe they're better educated or studied, but God said, no, I wanted you. And he always reminds me how I was. That his eyes are placed in you, not in somebody else. And because it doesn't matter how much you fight or resist, the only thing you're doing, you're extending what the time and what God wants to do. And the only one that is frustrating himself at it is you. Because at the end, you're going to have to end where God has wanted you, obeying him, and maybe not in the conditions that God wanted you to. This is powerful. I see Paul here. He converted himself in an apostle to the Gentiles. Maybe if it weren't for Paul, you and I wouldn't be here. Because he was the first to cause a controversy, because the gospel was for the Jews. And Paul said, no, it's for Mexicans too. It's for Guatemaltecos too. This is for Americans too. This is for Europeans too. This is for everybody that believes in him. This is for everybody that believes in him. Stand to your feet today. I know that there's always something that moves us in life. Many are moved by their job. Somebody would even give their life for their job. Some are moved by the money. But I want to mark your life this morning. I want to tell you, let the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, be the one to move your life. The problem is, in the church today, is that we are moved by the pastors or the people or the apostles. You don't have to be moved by the word, but you be moved by the word. The early church, They didn't go to the house. They went to the house and would investigate what was said. And they found out that the God of whom the apostles were speaking is the God of the impossible, the God of which they have spoken to them about. I want to invite you to an altar to make a prayer. Come to the altar to make a prayer together, where we confirm that we're going to be moved by the Spirit of God. You're going to be moved by the Spirit. Some of us are moved by social media. But let the Spirit of God be your influence, the one that marks your life. Myself as a pastor, I can't change you. This is not even my responsibility. I can't change your character. Sister Ceci, I can't change you. But all of us that are here for one reason. And I hope that one thing, the reason you're here is for the presence of God.